I believe I heard Tim praying that we would hear from God, basically, yeah, that we have hearts to hear from him today. And you guys know how I am. I'm always convinced that God himself wants to speak to each one of us, and that it's great to have, I guess, all the legs of the table, so to speak. You know, God himself, by his Holy Spirit, can instruct us through his word. He can instruct us through other saints. He can instruct us through our leaders. Yeah. And so God definitely wants to work in us. And so I'm convinced and confident that he's going to speak to each person. Sometimes even in spite of anything I have to say. So, because sometimes I recognize my own fallibility, and I almost feel like it's worse than everyone else's. But my confidence doesn't rest in me, nor should yours really rest in you, right? But our confidence rests in the Lord. And so I'm confident that he has something for us today. Last week, we talked a little bit about kind of some pieces to our journey, yeah, as believers. And this week, what I really want to talk about is I want to give you some simple rules. And, you know, none of those things are new to any of you. I think I said 6 rules for the road, and there's a secret 7th that's not really secret. And you could probably come up with a whole bunch of other rules, but what I'm thinking is rules for the road, what I mean is just things that we have to be reminded of, things we need to remember, you know. And every once in a while when I'm like on the internet and I'll look at, I don't know, like a news site or something, and there's always like the sidebar advertisements and the kinds of things, or what is it? Kyle likes to watch, is it Shark Tank? Shark Tank. And so I've seen a couple of times when these advertisements come up for these other shows, and they're like these sidebar ads. These, you know, they're always about the people who are like the filthy successful, rich, in the worldly sense. You know, they're, you know, it's about their giant castles and their 300-foot personal yachts, and, you know, or, you know, on the internet, it's usually like, you know, the secret rich to eternal life from the secret of eternal life from the rich people who take a pill or something, you know. It's all this kind of stuff. And we can actually be deceived into thinking that there is some secret. But the truth is, God has revealed to us all that we need for life and godliness. There's no great secret. I guess if anything were the secret, it would be the secret of how we could make ourselves just, darn it, walk in the Spirit all the time. That would be great. But God even tells us that the real goal is for us to make progress in our faith so we get better and better at it. So I am not going to share any secrets with you today. Okay? In fact, there's really nothing like that. In fact, the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. There isn't anything new. And for a lot of you, there's probably nothing new that's been shared in our church in years. Because there isn't anything new that's not already thousands of years old. But that doesn't stop us from the need of reminder. You know, maybe that's another secret, how to keep us from forgetting. You know, tie a string around our finger. Yeah, put phylacteries on our heads. Yeah, do something so we don't forget. But we need to be reminded. And that was actually something that Paul was pretty, actually Paul was into it too. But this little verse here, Peter writes, he says, "Therefore I'll always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them." He's talking about Christian life and functioning in the church as a believer. "Even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you, and I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder." Actually, there's several times where Peter uses that very term, stir you up by way of reminder. Well, doesn't that describe our experience very often when we are either in the scripture or we hear somebody speak, or maybe God just brings a scripture to mind that maybe we've read 100 times. We know it. But we get stirred up in the reminder of it, and it means something fresh to us. It's kind of funny. It's like this, I don't know, what do you call that? It's one of those things where even though stuff can be really old and there's nothing new in the truth, it can still be fresh every single moment and every day. And God's kind of amazing like that. And so the things that I want to share with you, they're nothing new. But it's my prayer and my desire that God would allow it, as he does, to be fresh to us, and that he would speak to us through the things that I have to share or the scriptures that we touch on. So, of course, the first instruction for a successful trip, because I called this 7 or 6 rules for the road, right? The first instruction really is we need to love God, right? So, and we know that. That's the most important commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah? That's the first thing. It's kind of an umbrella. There's another umbrella thing that's for you and I, but we'll come to that later. So, I called this 6 rules for the road. 6 rules for us to kind of be refreshed and reminded of. Yeah? And the first one I think of is, well, to do what God has said and to trust him. To trust and to do what he said. You know, real love, we know, real love is an emotion. I mean, the scripture we looked at before said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And even you and I, believers who know better, we can still get kind of tricked into thinking that somehow love is this feeling and an emotion. Certainly, emotions can get pulled into play in love. But no greater love has anyone than this, that he laid down his life for his brother. Love has to do with action and sacrifice. It has to do with doing, doesn't it? Love is a doing thing. And the feelings are really wonderful and sweet that come along with that, or they can be. Sometimes I guess it can be painful. And we all enjoy, like the emotional feelings that come with love, whether it's romantic or whether it's just knowing that you have a friend that loves you and they give to you emotionally, kind of like giving energy. You know, is that what they use today in like new speak today, right? And it's not that it's wrong, it's true. We are energized by other people caring about us, right? But love is doing. God's word says that we should do. In fact, in Psalm 111:10, those of you who know me know that that's like one of my favorite verses. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding of all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. And the middle part of that, a good understanding of all those who do his commandments, is something I just keep coming back to. Because so often, people in their Christian lives, in my Christian life, and probably you, we can feel like we just don't see where to go. We just don't get it, or something doesn't make sense. And the first place to go is just to do what you see and what you know. If you get in God's Word and you read it and then do what you see, amazingly, God will cause it to help you gain understanding. It's by obeying Him that we grow in our understanding. You want to grow in wisdom and knowledge? Do what he says in the word. Okay? You can go to all kinds of other classes and maybe you'll learn some neat, cool stuff. But if you want to grow, if you want to grow and become mature in Christ, just do what he says. That's what you got to do. So, I think that's the first thing. We just need to do what he says. And specifically, we need to do his word. Now, children, of course, yeah, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So children need to do what their parents say, right? So that's a piece of it. In fact, God even tells kids to do what their parents say, right? And that's a great, wow, what a safety net, isn't it? I mean, for kids to not have to wonder, how do I do this? What do I do? But rather be able to rely on their parents. Wow. What a great thing for you and I as adults to be able to rely on our Father. And yet so often we want to kind of like rely on so many other things, you know, either it's worldly wisdom or our own feelings. Yeah. But when we rely on what God has said, we're safe and secure. So, you know, other people can be ones that we listen to as well. We listen to the Word. Kids, listen to your parents. But here it says in Proverbs, heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Well, that instruction can come from the Scripture, but it can come from other people as well. Every one of us probably in some area of our life can be under somebody's authority in some way. Even if it's simply placing yourself in somebody's authority in the sense of having a relationship with a friend who's keeping you accountable, right? And we need to pay attention to the wisdom that God can share through other people. Of course, it's filtered through His Word, yeah? So, but there's lots of ways that we can do what God has said. Number one is just getting His Word. And I think that's the first rule for the road. Yeah, just do what you know. And if you just do that and everything else seems crazy, you're going to be on the right track. And it'll help you get going. Second rule for the road is probably one of the hardest ones. Rejoice always. Yeah, maybe we should sing that song a bunch lately. Is it 1st or 2nd Thessalonians? 1st Thessalonians. But what a great rule for the road. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I am, what's the word? Oh, well, I tend to be one of those complaining people. That's my default setting is to find fault and complain about it. And maybe some of you can relate to that. I'm always amazed by those people who are the ones who, even if they see a fault, they don't find fault. They just kind of like, they go, okay, and they instead see a solution or see a positive direction and or an encouragement. And those people are just amazing to me. I wish I were like that all the time. And I'm trying to get to be that way. And God says we're to rejoice always. Well, why not? Because almost everything, maybe I'll go out on a limb and say everything that you and I have to complain about has to do with this earthly life, doesn't it? But the victory's already been won against all those things in this earthly life because the ultimate end of this is death. But God has won that victory, and you and I can rejoice because we are destined for an eternity with Him, an eternity of joy. And so we can rejoice. And I know it's, like I said, it's probably one of the most difficult things to do. Because we get those blinders on, or we get the weight of a million tons of cares and worries or problems, and we forget that that weight really means nothing in light of our eternal hope and destiny. But if you and I along the way can remember to rejoice, which will help us put our focus in the right place. That's what rejoicing does, doesn't it? It helps us get our focus off of the trouble, the frustration, whatever it is, and get our focus on where we're going and the end game, basically, which is eternal joy for you and I. And when we're in that position, we're a lot better able to deal with those troubles here on earth, aren't we? Because we can see them from God's perspective. And that's what we need to be doing. So, rule number two is rejoice always. Rule number three is pray without ceasing. Same verse, right? Actually, different verse, next verse. Yeah. But it seems like it's the same verse since they're all so short. So, pray without ceasing. So, I really think that all of us should probably just quit our jobs and expand the closet size in our places and get a pillow to kneel on all day long and just don't stop praying. No. Obviously, that's ridiculous. But learning to pray without ceasing, I don't know, is there another way we can rephrase that? Maybe we could just call it talking to God about everything that's going on all day long. Maybe learning to talk with God so that people don't think we're crazy. So every once in a while I'm driving down the road or I'm, you know, stopped at a light and I see one of these people on the sidewalk and I feel so sad because they're clearly talking to somebody and there's nobody around, yeah? Well, I'm not sure that I want to be that person, But learning to realize the reality of God in our lives every moment is huge. Did God not say that He placed His Holy Spirit within you? It's not like He said, here, I'll give you a quarter, put it in your pocket. No. God, this amazingly unique existence, is three persons. And when He said He put His Holy Spirit within me, He means Himself. That's a part of God, the Spirit. And He put it in you if you put your trust in Him. He's with you all the time. In fact, that reminds me. Sorry. I have to do this right now, otherwise I'll forget. And Tim, this is really important. Whoops, there we go. Change the lyrics from I to my number. Okay. Give me Jesus. So let's remember, give me Jesus. There's some lyrics we got to change. So, because part of that, the song there says, implies that we don't have Jesus at some point in time. And we know that that's not true, but that's kind of what the words say. You know what? We've got God's Holy Spirit. God's with us all the time, right? So we can pray without ceasing because He's right there with you. He's there. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you're doing and thinking better than you do. So that's a good person to talk to, yeah? And just like point number two, what better way to get our perspective correct than to just instantly just recognize that He's there, He knows, and He can give us guidance. Let's get God's perspective on things. So, pray without ceasing. That's my rule number three. Let's see if I have another verse to show with that one too. I might not. Whoop. Oh, I love this. We've been going through Jeremiah in our small group, and I'm just really enjoying lots of little chunks out of there. And this is a verse that I pulled out of there from Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It just says, call to me and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, you have to be careful sometimes when you look at the Old Testament and go, okay, this is a lot of it is history, right? So am I looking at something that God gave as a specific instruction to somebody in a specific place and time? Or am I looking to something that is kind of a universal truth from God that applies to all people? Well, and this was clearly given through Jeremiah to the people in Israel. And he's saying, hey, just call out to me. Stop faking it and doing your other thing. Call out to me, and I'm going to show you some amazing things that you've not known about. And he's specifically talking about some things in their near future. About about prophecy. And we know that from many, many verses throughout all of Scripture that that's essentially true for you and I as well, right? We call out to Him. And I'm not sure that means that if you say, God, show me stuff, and all of a sudden this booming voice will come down and say, you will meet a person. No. But when we call out to Him, He gives us understanding. He gives us insight. Yeah. Primarily through His Word. So, but yeah. Pray without ceasing. Call out to God. My point number four, rule number four for the road. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. And that little chunk of three verses, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks. You know, those three things in themselves, if we just kind of jam it in our heads, will help us to keep perspective throughout our day, throughout our week and our life. If we just practice those things, in fact, that was rule number one, wasn't it? Do what God's Word says. If we just do it, it can be amazingly powerful. So give thanks. And similar to being able to rejoice, we can give thanks because we know the end game. We know the end result of all of it. And we know that even in struggle and trial and hardship, God is at work because He takes everything we go through to work in our lives. You know, even if you screw up and do something stupid, God will try to use that to build in your life and to draw you closer and make you more mature in Him. Okay? Not that you should go out deliberately and do anything stupid. Okay? But we can give thanks in every situation. Yeah? And it's kind of reminds me of that story that, I don't know if Patrick told it, but somebody else told it, of Patrick and some of these other folks who were on their bus doing their 1972, something like that, whirlwind tour of college campuses to start churches. And they're on a bus, and a couple of them were sitting on the floor of the back of the bus, and there's a giant box of powdered laundry soap stacked up on the top of this stack of band equipment, everything in the back of the bus. And the driver hit the brakes really fast, and this huge box of laundry powder flipped over and dumped right down on top of one of the girls. And the quote was, the brother sitting next to her just says, "Sister, are you giving thanks?" Of course, I think he had only one black eye, maybe two, but anyhow. But we can give thanks in every situation, even with laundry soap all over our head. Yeah. So, rule number 5 says, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. Well, just get into it, right? Don't just wonder. Go look in God's Word. Yeah. And here's an amazing thing. Okay. If you make the transition from having a question in the Scripture and then going and finding what everyone else says about it, and instead transition to finding a question in Scripture and asking God to help you understand, you will be amazed that you are able to understand things if you just give God time to teach you and show you. And I'm not saying you shouldn't listen and to other people, but that shouldn't be our default setting. Yeah. Because God's able to speak to us. So, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. Yeah, we are supposed to be shrewd, aren't we? Yeah, we don't want to be gullible. And I don't know if that's the right term, but, you know, the modern reality, of course, is that whatever you feel is truth. Yeah. And so, while the world around us is totally losing its center, it's losing its sense of gravity, it's losing everything that can keep people sane, because truth is whatever you make it, yeah? Which kind of leaves things open for you to be, basically for everything to fall apart. But you and I recognize that there is truth. And God is that truth and the source of all truth. And so, if we pursue and examine and hold fast, then we're the ones who will be able to find a way to make sense of things in this world and in our own lives. Yeah. You know, I remember at one point in my life, I almost drowned. In fact, I was drowning. And I probably told you a story before, but it kind of applies here. It makes me think about it. How I remember I was in the kayak and the boat turned over and I was trapped under it. And the current was so strong that, and the kayak was trapped under some low-hanging branches. And I kind of got my legs out, but I couldn't hold myself up above water. The current was so strong, and I was just barely grabbing onto the inside of the kayak, and I'm underwater. And I think of how that holding on gave my dad enough time to find a way to get a hold of me and drag me out from the water. But, you know, the people around us today, they have nothing to hold on to. They're just all being dragged along by the current because they don't have a sense of truth. Well, you and I have the truth, and a lot of it's probably in your heart and in your head. And you at least have a book where it's all written down. And in fact, most of you probably have like 4 or 5 or 100 of those books, right? So let's examine it carefully. What a great rule. You know, if you start to kind of feel gunky and you're just like, I don't even want to sit down and read the Word, that's exactly the time when we need to examine, right? Just get into it. Say, fine, I'll read it. In fact, God probably would appreciate a little honesty. If you just don't feel like getting in His Word, you can say, God, I don't want to read Your Word. But okay, I'll do it because I'm supposed to. And God will like that, and He'll work with you. and he'll change your heart. So, has anyone never been in that position before? Never? Yeah? Okay. So, you know, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. You know, and to me, that's just means we should try to carry it wherever we go as well. So we get into it, pursue God's word, pursue truth, but then find ways to just let it be anchored in us. Memorize it, carry it with you. Yeah. I think those little things can be huge for us. Yeah, let it richly dwell within us. All right. Was that rule number 5? All right. Rule 6A. Spend time with him. Okay? Actually, that kind of in different ways comes up in a bunch of these, doesn't it? Spend time with him. So, and that just goes back to the very first thing we started with this morning, right? The scripture that says, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's the greatest and foremost commandment. We need to give to him there. Spend time with him. Spend time with God. Prayer in his word. Yeah. And rule 6B. Whoop, sorry. I forgot I threw that verse in there. We'll go back to 6A. Yeah. Another good reason to spend time with him is just because he cares for you. He wants to spend time with you. And I don't know about you guys, but I forget. In order to not become too emotional, I can also, you know, especially in the past, I'm not this way as much anymore, but I can be very regimented and rule-oriented so that my relationship with God is all about the rules. Yeah. And I remember the first time I saw this verse, and it wasn't a new verse. This is a truth from God that's from all eternity. So it's not new. And I'm sure I'd read it before, but when I was reminded of it, it was fresh to me. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, God cares about me. Like, he cares. That's like, you know, it's not like, oh, you got to go feed the dog. No, it's more like, oh, I love this dog. This dog's nice, you know, and not to compare me to a dog, but the point is, he doesn't care just in the sense that he, you know, makes sure that it rains sometimes so there's water in the well or whatever. But he cares about my heart. He cares about my feelings. He cares about all the things that go on in my life. He cares about me. And wow, how do you and I respond to people who care about us? If we're aware of it, we probably respond by giving them some sort of feedback or care back, right? And we build relationship. God cares about us more than anybody else possibly ever could. That motivates me too, towards spending time with him, because he wants to spend time with me. He cares about me. And 6B is spend time meeting with or laboring with the saints. This is super important. In Proverbs, it says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire and quarrels against all sound wisdom. Now, if that verse just said, he who separates himself seeks his own desire, I could probably rationalize, well, that's not a bad thing. Yeah. But then it says, and quarrels against all sound wisdom. Oh, that doesn't sound like such a good thing anymore, does it? Makes it pretty clear. And there's a lot of people who want to not meet with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's one aspect, I would argue, of somebody wants to separate themselves. Yeah? Because they want these things their own way or whatever it may be. I don't know. But we're instructed not to separate ourselves. And in Hebrews it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And there's several other verses that talk about not forsaking being together. And I don't think that means you have to, like, go to regular meetings all the time. Like, you know, we're going to have our Sunday night meeting, Wednesday night meeting, Thursday night prayer meeting. I mean, those are bad things. But that's just a manifestation of what we need to do. But it's clear that we're not to sacrifice being together. To me, doing things like doing a sidewalk sale and being there with other people is great. That's being together with people. Yeah. Or if you're going to do some other activity, that's great. Yeah. Or maybe you band up to go share the gospel. That's super. But we are supposed to make sure that we spend time with our God, and we're supposed to make sure that we spend time with the saints. And that's a scriptural thing. So those are my six basic rules for the road. And number seven, I'm not going to give a number, because for you and I don't think we need to put that as a number. The umbrella idea, of course, for you and I is to live a life of evangelism. Right? I mean, that's kind of what we're called to, isn't it? We're called to be ones who are seeking to build the faith of the saints and seeking to make new disciples. That's our life, right? So I guess I could throw that in as number seven, but to me it's kind of more like an umbrella thing. So all these other points are things we can do along the way to get us to where we're accomplishing God's purposes. Yeah, living a life of evangelism. Not all of us, I think, are called to go and spend all day preaching in Westlake Center. But every one of us is called to be a light where we're at and to look and grow in finding opportunities with the people we run into. Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit in the last several times. So what were my little rules for the road? I threw one of them on the floor. So the first rule for the road was to do what God has said. The second one was to rejoice always, and then to pray without ceasing. Number four was to give thanks. Number five was to get into the Word, examine the Word. And number six was to spend time with God and with the saints. Invest your time there. Okay. So let's take just a moment and pray together. Father, I ask you that you would help each one of us to grab a hold of one little piece of something you've spoken to our hearts today. I pray you'd even right this moment just kind of solidify that in our minds as we're praying and just lifting up our hearts and our minds to you, that you would just speak to each one of us and solidify something that we could kind of grab a hold of and do, something we can obey and grow in this week. So God, I ask that you would do that right now in our hearts. You would cause each one of us to be making progress in our faith and progress in our walk with you, that we might be the ones who get to the end result and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. God, we just want to give you. And it's such a challenge sometimes living in this, I guess in a sense, this shell, this dead shell of flesh that we know is destined for for something besides eternity in heaven. But God, you have given us a spirit and your spirit, and you've called us to your eternity. So God, we just commit ourselves to you, ask you to help us to grow in being a testimony to your greatness and glory. And we just want to honor you with all we have. In Jesus' name, amen.